Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
All right, got my man Chad Brown in here this morning.
Chad Brown.
Mark will be back tomorrow. Always enjoy spending time with you, my man. So easy to work with.
I try to be. It's my goal.
Yeah.
I suppose, the misfortune of, you know, sitting down with everybody on the station. This is a fortune for me. I get to work with you, Mike. You are the perfect driver for radio.
Aw, thank you.
You are the tugboat of radio host. The tugboat.
Oh, no.
Come on.
You're gonna need a bigger
motion. No. Hold on. I loved where you were going. Wait a minute.
Need some detail on that?
Okay. I know our listeners. I love our listeners, but I know our listeners. You start calling me tugboat, that's going to stick.
It should stick.
And I don't know if I want tugboat to stick. What do you mean by tugboat?
Okay. The person who sits in this seat, myself, or normally Mark Schlereth, we're this big boat of football knowledge going down the ocean. You can't really just make us go where you want us to go. You have to gently direct us into harbor to deliver a great radio show. If it's just me and Mark, we're just grunting and making football noises. But if it's you, you're guiding us through the tricky waters, taking us around the coral reefs, making us avoid all the bad stuff. You're this perfect tugboat captain.
Oh, no.
Tugboat Mike.
Oh, God.
Make it stick. Listeners, make it stick.
Great.
Awesome. Tugboat.
Thanks.
Yes.
You know, now as I...
I'm picturing it like a little, like a children's toy, a tugboat with kind of your face on the front.
Like a Thomas the Train,
yes.
But with a tugboat with
exactly.
My face on the front of it.
Exactly. Oh, good stuff, man.
Oh, no.
I'm picturing it right now.
This started out so... good. I was like, oh, this is nice. Chad's saying some nice things about me. And then you.
It's still a nice
me.
Thing.
It is, but it's tugboat. And I know our listeners. This is going to stick. I guarantee you, Chad. I guarantee you. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you and I will pop on together and do a show.
Yes.
And there will be a tugboat reference. On the text line or hologram machine or whatever we got at that point.
I know who will be sending that text or hologram as well.
Man.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, but it is a compliment. It is a compliment. The tugboat captain is critical.
Well, as one texter put it, too bad the tugboat couldn't help the Paxton Lynch shipwreck. I'm not one text, another sure. Another text. Here we go. Geez, I'm not sure why tugboat's making such a big deal of being called tugboat. Okay, see, here we go. Here we go. I see a tugboat t-shirt in the works. Let's see. Tugboat is a good host. The Husky Tuggy.
That's a good one.
Tugboat Mike, I like it. Okay, great. Thanks, Chad. Thanks.
If
thank
only
you.
They can work in tugboat and big squash into some kind of phrase.
Thanks a lot.
Well, anyway, let me say you're welcome.
All right, back to sports. Today they're in pads.
Yeah.
And boy, does that tell you how much training camp has changed where the idea of them putting on pads is big news.
It's a media
event. Right?
Football players wearing pads.
Well, it's just because I think so many of us just want to see real football, you know?
Yeah.
And, but will we see real football? I mean, the idea of, hey, the pads are going to be cracking. Maybe we'll get some goal line. And will we even see tackling today?
No.
No tackling.
Not on day one.
There'll be no tackling.
I threw the question out to Mike Kliss, but no. I don't think there's a coach in the league who on day one of pads is having people go to the ground. You got to get used to wearing those things. My first 2 days in pads, I did stupid stuff like smash my fingers between my helmet and someone else's helmet just because where my hands go. And I got all this stuff on and it feels weird. And I know we've all seen the videos of Russell Wilson or Tom Brady training with their shoulder pads on. But most guys don't spend the offseason wearing shoulder pads. Bradley Chubb was not wearing shoulder pads when he was practicing pass rush with DeMarcus Ware. So these guys have to get used to an extra 7 pounds of gear and all the limitations that come with that.
You can't turn around without seeing a former Bronco out of camp. And so I was talking to a former defensive player yesterday about the idea of them putting on the pads. And he said something interesting. He said, so when you watch the defensive guys out here when they're just playing against air, you know, and nobody's got pads, everybody's very aggressive. They come right up to the guy, you know, and they kind of get their hands right up into him with the idea that, oh, man, if I had a chance, I'd blow you up right now, right? He said, watch what happens when they put pads on. Watch how many of them pull up a lot shorter and make business decisions.
Ooh.
So are guys making, will they make business decisions out there now when the pads come on?
Oh, absolutely. And this is where you see the difference between a training camp star and an actual football player. There's always going to be guys who stand out in the basketball part of training camp. The shorts and jerseys, the shorts and shells, and running around. Yes, instead of thudding somebody up and making a contact tackle, you run up to them, you break your feet down, you chop your feet, and you touch them under the waist. This shows the coaches, hey, I'm in position to make a tackle. That is not making a tackle in real football. Real football, you got to stick your shoulder on somebody. Sometimes you got to put your face on somebody, and that's when those business decisions come up. And for some rookie DB and Javonte Williams in a hole, Javonte Williams is not going to turn down the contact. It's going to be that rookie DB who makes a business decision. He's not going to be confident enough tackling this big dude running through a hole. And we're going to see that. Now it's where the separation comes once you put the pads on, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, because in the end, defense is about knowing where you're supposed to be and tackling. That's how you play good defense.
As a defensive guy who played in this league for a long, long time, have you seen a decline in the tackling, the quality of tackling in the NFL? The idea being that, well, these guys don't tackle that much. They don't put the pads on that much. Surely it must be affecting the way that we're seeing the actual games be played. Now, just to the untrained eye, as a football fan who watches on Sunday, I don't see any real difference. Do you?
The best teams still tackle well. And if you want to correlate missed tackles to defensive rankings, it's pretty clear. It's almost as clear as the turnover ratio to wins and losses. The more missed tackles you have as a defensive unit, typically the poorer you are, because it means you don't understand where you're supposed to be. You don't understand your leverage. It's more than just you missing the tackle. It shows a lack of understanding on the entire defense. That's a clear indicator to defensive success or lack of success. So the best teams work it all the time. And again, I've done those internships. Seahawks are one of the best tackling teams in the league. Pete Carroll and the defensive staff work it almost some form of tackling, even if it's not to the ground, every single practice.
Well, thanks, Chad. Just a quick look here at the text line. Stinkin' Tugboat has a nice ring to it.
It's like a TV show.
Hey, hopefully this sticks with your buddies next summer, Mike. Wingy, Ski, Mole, and Tugboat. Let's see. Maybe you guys can get Nate Jackson to sing the Tugboat song, sung to the Love Boat theme. The Tugboat. Let's see. What else? How does How does the tugboat not capsize with that melon?
Had to work the squash in there. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Texter.
Tugboats are the husky little fellas of the harbor, kind of like husky little Evans trolling around the studio. Oh, Chad, thanks.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you. And our listeners, thank you. Coming up next, something you said yesterday about Vic Fangio stuck with me. And as I was watching him yesterday at practice, the thought became even clearer. Tell you what it is next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
He's supposedly at this Fox Summit, all the broadcasters and everybody getting together to prepare for the football season, but something tells me his mind might be a little bit distracted today. Because today, August 3rd, Tom Brady's birthday.
Oh.
I love Tom Brady! You brought up something else earlier. You know who else's birthday it is today?
Yeah.
Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Struggling.
One guy's 44, and one guy's 22.
He's twice as old.
Double.
He could. I don't know if the Jets and Bucks play this year, but imagine having a squaring off of quarterbacks where one is literally twice as old as the other one.
So my first preseason game in Pittsburgh, I get into the huddle, and David Little, the linebacker for the Steelers, is in the huddle. He's calling the huddle. And David was in year 15. For some reason, I chose to say to him at that moment, do you know I was in the third grade your rookie year? And he just looked at me, slapped me on the side of my helmet, said, shut up, rookie.
What inspired you to pick that moment?
I knew I was going in the game, and I was trying to just, thinking of, you know, gosh, how old is David? And he's been playing 15 years, and we go back for myself. That was wow, that was the third grade. That's crazy. And then, fast forward, 15 years later,
right?
I'm in a huddle in a preseason game out there with a bunch of rookies, and I can't recall what Boris said to me. Boris was a linebacker with the Patriots, but something similar, and my reaction was the same as David Little's.
Did you slap him upside the head?
I slapped him on the side of his helmet. Shut up, rookie.
Shut up, rookie.
Yeah, I'm 37. I'm out here playing football. This is stupid. What is wrong with me?
By the way, I got a text. Today is me and my first son's birthday. I know I share it with another mediocre quarterback in this league, but let's not talk about that guy. Wish my son and me a happy birthday. Jay Daniels in Loveland, Colorado.
Happy birthday
to you and
your son.
Congratulations. That'll be a special, special day. And maybe also have an extra cupcake with a candle there for Tom Brady.
It was okay. My daughter's birthday before you segue on yesterday.
Yesterday?
25.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's like birthday. A milestone age, I think. You know, 25.
That's big.
Quarter of a century.
Yeah, that's big.
You know, you're out of college. You're starting to establish your real life. So, yeah, it was a fun time and a couple of interesting conversations about, you know, wow, Dad, when you were 25, I was like born. It's like, yeah. Yeah, it's a different time.
It's a different time.
Kids grow up at different ages
now. That's true.
Yeah.
That is true. You said something yesterday. We were talking, and you were saying, yeah, Vic Fangio calls the defense. He runs the defense during games, but it's not necessarily a defense that he had his hands completely on during the week, installing it. And that got me thinking as I was watching Vic yesterday during practice, and he admitted afterwards, he said, look, when it comes to the quarterbacks, I got to go back and look at the tape because I tend to focus on the defense. He's a defensive guy. And that leads to, should he give up calling the defense? Should he concentrate on just being the head coach and just give it up entirely? Would it make him a better head coach?
Yes. Yes. I think all the coaches who call plays would be better served as a head coach by not calling plays.
But the reason why these guys get the chance to be a head coach is based on their expertise on one side of the ball.
Right.
Kyle Shanahan got a chance to be a head coach because he's a so-called offensive genius, and he's supposed to give that up and just be a head coach. Vic Fangio got this job because he established himself as being one of the best defensive minds in the NFL history, yet he's supposed to give that up?
I know. But I don't – do you think Vic Fangio is better served by calling plays as a head coach? And, you know, you don't have 15 years in the NFL, so tell me what your eyes see. The game management, the timeouts, the sideline communication – All that is lost for half of the game because he's calling plays. And that's not an awful thing. Sean Payton calls plays with the Saints. They're successful. Kyle Shanahan took the Niners to the Super Bowl. They're successful. Andy Reid. So you can get it done. But I think then the rest of the organization and the rest of the structure has to fit in place. For Kyle Shanahan, as much as an offensive guy as he is, the first two periods of practice – he spends with the defense. When the defense does the walkthrough, Kyle Shanahan is a scout team quarterback. Not only because I think he loves playing around with the football, it's fun for him, but also this is a way for him to kind of be within his elements, but still be participating on the defensive side of the ball. Could we have had any of the scout team quarterbacks be the scout team quarterback? Of course the Niners could. But for Kyle, it was important for him to somehow play a role on the defensive side. So I think unusual things like that have to be done if you're going to be literally focused on one side of the ball, but also the head coach and how you distribute your time in practice and meetings and all of that.
And I get it. You become a head coach. Mark tells the story that Kyle shared with him that, hey, when I was just an offensive coordinator, I could go days without taking a shower. You know, I'd be in sweats and a beard, and I just lock myself in my office and look at film. I can't do that anymore. You know, I got to come out. I got to meet the media. I got to talk to the team. I got to present myself a certain way. And to me, it just seems counterproductive because you hire this guy. Vic Fangio was a skeptical enough choice for most Bronco fans. But the one way you could sell it was, hey, we're getting a guy that's a defensive mastermind, right? I mean, look at what he did with that Bears defense. This is what he's going to bring here. So the idea that you want him to stop doing that, then what's the point? I never thought about Vic Fangio as a long-term football CEO for the Broncos. I lean on his, what he can bring. And I would go all the way with it. You can't tell me that a guy who made his chops as a defensive coordinator calling games from upstairs is as effective as a defensive guy when he's down on the sidelines.
I think the results
should be upstairs.
Speak for themselves, unfortunately.
He should be upstairs.
Right.
But I get how the optics look. You know, that would, the last thing the Broncos coming off 5 years of futility need is to have something that is so outside the box that it causes more people to pay attention. And if it doesn't work out, you're ridiculed even more. But he should be up there in the, if you're going to bring this guy in for this reason, then go all the way with it. Otherwise, if you're just sort of doing it, you know, 60%, then what's the point? All right, you can answer that on the other side. We got four down territory coming up. We're going to hear from Bradley Chubb, Pat Surtain, Kush. We're going to hear from Kush and Steve Atwater. Chad's got some great thoughts on Steve Atwater going into the Hall of Fame. We'll do all of that in four down territory coming up next.
Are you ready for some football?
This is four down territory.
Words cannot say how much I truly love you.
Donkey Kong Sue.
Double team, leaping high, falling hard.
No soy fiesta.
Hurry. On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
Today I felt really comfortable, man. I felt like I was a brand new person out there running around and trying not to think about it. But, of course, you had those days where, okay, I don't want to step wrong and stuff like that. So I feel like last week I was having those thoughts and stuff like that. But when I get around those guys, man, when I get the energy that they bring, it makes me so excited. I don't even think about all the stuff that's going on with me, man. I'm just trying to go out there, like I said, make those plays, do what I can do to cause disruption.
All right, there's Bradley Chubb. Chad Brown in for Mark Schlereth. earlier, I was talking about how Bradley Chubb, outside of the quarterbacks, there may not be another Bronco with more to prove than Bradley Chubb. Man, you took it and doubled down, and you put a number on what's at stake for Chubb.
Yeah, 60 to 65 million bucks. He goes out and has 12 sacks this year, then he's a $100 million guy with 50, 60 million guaranteed. He has 5 sacks, misses a couple of games, doesn't stay healthy all year long. Now he's 4 years, 35 million, 35, 4 years, 40 million. That's a $60 million difference. So motivation should clearly be there for Bradley Chubb, not just to, you know, live up to draft status, but to enrich the subsequent generations of his family and make generational wealth for them.
Take care of a lot of Chubbs with $65 million. Benny, a lot of Chubbs.
Chubb, Chubb, Chubb.
Thank you. Multiple Chubbs. Next in four down territory.
Second down. You know, I'm just out here controlling what I can control at the end of the day. You know, I'm just looking forward to playing this season with my teammates. You know, just building on that. You know, and just playing my game. You know, just being the best player I could be.
You know, watching Pat Surtain out there, this guy could play. I mean, it's clear he can play. And I root for him because for so many Bronco fans, there's almost a built-in, I guess, bias against Surtain because he's not Justin Fields. And that surprises me. Not the craving for a young, stud, can't-miss quarterback, but don't fans realize that they won a Super Bowl with arguably one of the greatest secondaries of all time? A secondary that was great, had a great nickname, that played with bravado and arrogance and swagger. You know, it included great players. You know, you can win big in this league with great cornerbacks. Why does there seem to be this, how much can he really help us? He's a cornerback.
I think the fan base here is just so quarterback starved that they can have a future Pro Bowler, most likely All-Pro cornerback, drafted and not see the win in that because they're just so quarterback starved here. And clearly, with this team, there's on the offensive side of the ball, there's young talent, the receivers, there's young running backs, there's an offensive line that's finally coming together, and the quarterback situation is still unsettled. So, yes, even when you go out and get a future, most likely, Pro Bowl or possible All-Pro guy, that doesn't satisfy your quarterback thirst. That's how starved they are for quarterbacks here in this town.
Next in four-down territory.
Third down.
Yeah. So last year I played in between, like, 310, 315. I'm sitting around 320 right now. I feel great. I don't feel like I put on any, you know, bad weight. Like I said, in the offseason, I just went straight to work. I knew last year wasn't good enough, so I just went straight to work and put my head down all offseason and just grinded.
That's Floyd Cush.
What you have is my word, and it's stronger than oak.
Cush. I thought Lloyd Cushenberry was maybe the Broncos' best, safest pick last year. Coming out of LSU, terrific offensive line at LSU. He's right in the middle of it. Real team leader. And yet, for a lot of people, the thought was that Cush didn't really have that good of a rookie season. What did you see, and are you confident this guy can become the center that so many of us projected the day that they drafted him? And we lauded the Broncos for getting him in, what, the third round?
I think Pro Football Focus had him as a bottom three center last year, if I remember my center rankings correctly in my head. I don't think he was awful, but he was a rookie at a very difficult position with a quarterback essentially and a rookie behind him. So it was not an ideal situation for a young guy to step into. And to his point, I don't think he was physically ready from a power standpoint to deal with what he was dealing with on the inside of that line. Hopefully this year is better for him, because if he's better, that makes the entire offensive line better. And as a quarterback, you can deal with guys coming around the edge because you can step up. But if the pocket's being collapsed onto your lap, No quarterback can compete with that. That's why Tom Brady has lost Super Bowls, because the pocket has been in his lap. So even a quarterback as good as Tom Brady suffers from that. So whoever it's, whether it's Teddy or Drew, they need Kush to be better so they can be better.
By the way, Quinn Miners, he of the...
Belly. Yeah.
Looked really good yesterday. He was getting his time at center. And he was the huddle guy. So, like, and tell me, because after every snap, they'd come back to run another play, and he'd be like, huddle!
It's the center's job.
I never heard a center be that vocal, though.
Well, it's because he's learning to be a center.
Huddle! Tell me, is that all him, or did the veterans put him up to that? Like, hey, Rook, you got to yell out, huddle!
I think the coaching staff put him up to it. Just to kind of get the mechanics of that position down, that is your job. And it seems ridiculous that someone needs to tell players to huddle up.
Yes.
But if you don't say that, then a couple of seconds are lost of them getting into the huddle. Then the quarterback doesn't have as much time at the line of scrimmage. So that silly thing of putting your head up and saying, huddle, 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 is actually an effective thing.
Next in fourth down territory.
Fourth down.
Being a Bronco means striving for perfection, knowing that you'll never be perfect, but striving for it and leaving it all out in the field, man. Even when you lose games, you want the fans to be like, man, hey, they lost, man, but they played a hell of a game. You know, they left it all on the field.
You know, you hear this about a lot of people. Wow, I've never heard anybody say a bad word about him. Honestly, when it comes, I've never heard anybody say even the slightest whiff of anything negative about Steve Atwater.
Steve Atwater is a great dude, and Steve Atwater showed me you can be an absolute killer and assassin on the field and still just be as nice of a dude and a family-oriented guy off the field. So I have used Steve as a role model in so many ways. Got a chance to know Steve my senior year of college. He and I have had the same agent since 1993. So I've known Steve a very long time. And to your point, yeah, if you got something to say bad about Steve Atwater, that says something more about you than it does about him, because he's an awesome human being. And congratulations to him going to the Hall of Fame this weekend. Super proud of him.
You know, Atwater, Lynch, two guys who there must be something. There must be something to the idea that when you get ready to go out and play in that NFL arena, that there is a switch that's flipped and that you transform yourself, and then the ability, once it's over, to step back out over the white lines and instantly transform back to somebody else. Because you're right, Atwater, Lynch, the style in which they played, the violence in which they played, and then to be just super chill, nice guys off the field. It's kind of hard sometimes to marry the two together, you know?
Right. I think sometimes you put on that helmet, you become a superhero, and that's what I did as a kid because I was very shy. I think there's something similar for those guys. Mild-mannered off the field, but absolute train killers on the field, no doubt about it. But played physical, but never dirty.
Right.
Because that was not who they were as a person. They just brought it from a physical perspective and a violent perspective on the field.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory, a tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Got a lot of great texts rolling in. We'll get to some of those. Also, is Broncos country ready to embrace this player? Tell you who it is next. All right, we'll get to some of your excellent texts. Please stop with the tugboat references.
Keep them going, please. We need more tugboat. Not cowbell, tugboat.
I like this one. Evans, Mark is going to feel much safer on I Told You So Island, knowing that the tugboat is patrolling. All right, it is kind of funny. But that doesn't mean that's a stick. All right. Is Broncos country ready to embrace Melvin Gordon? He's looked really good out there. As much as you can really judge a guy, a running back, when he's not getting tackled, but he looks a little bigger, still looks quick, and I've got to imagine with him being honest the other day and saying, look, I admit the presence of Philip Lindsay rattled me a little bit. Year under his belt here, Lindsay's gone. Yeah, I mean, he knows that Javonte Williams was drafted to be this franchise's Dalvin Cook. But still, he he seems like a guy that feels more relaxed this year and is set to go out and have a big year. I've always liked Melvin Gordon. I like the signing. I like what he brought as a player. But Broncos country never really embraced him.
Nope.
You think they're prepared to do it this year? Or are they already on to, hey, give me more Javonte Williams?
I think they, well, whether they're ready to or not, I think they should embrace him. You got a guy who's motivated, not just, you know, for a good season, but I think for a future deal. So he's going to be willing to play harder, willing to maybe go out there a little nicked up with, you know, possible financial implications coming with that. He recognizes that he's got to seize this opportunity because they did draft a guy who the future is not going to be next year. They're going to try to get him into this season. So for Melvin Gordon to get the financial payday that he would love to get and get another deal as an NFL player, you can't let Javonte Williams take your reps, which means you've got to be motivated. You've got to be a leader. You've got to be everything and remove all doubts that were about you. Fumbling issues, those have got to go away. Any of the off-the-field stuff can't happen this year. And any ill will you had towards the Broncos fan base because they love the local guy, Phillip Lindsay, yeah, you got to let that go. You've got to move on as a player so now you can be embraced for what you actually do bring. Because I don't think anyone could argue with the production last year. It was all the other stuff that people didn't like. The contract, the off-the-field stuff, you know, the fact that he wasn't Phillip Lindsay. Things he can't help that part of it, but you can affect the on-the-field part.
You know, is it just me or is it time to stop with just the lip service? And what I mean by that is every year since Peyton left town, all I've heard is, hey, we got a young quarterback. We got an inexperienced quarterback. We have a veteran quarterback who's getting his first chance to be a starter type thing. We got to be able to run the ball. We got to be balanced. We have to go out and establish the run. And they pay lip service to it. They say it year after year, and then they never follow through. But, man, Chad, will you ever have a better opportunity to put your money where your mouth is if you're the Broncos? Because I think I'm correct in saying, please disagree, but I don't think you will, that their offensive line situation top to bottom is in as good a shape as it's been probably since the Super Bowl. And you've got a stable of running backs, a highly motivated Melvin Gordon, a stud in the making, supposedly in Javonte Williams, and a guy that I think is a really underrated running back who, if given the chance to play more, I think would shine in Mike Boone. So, is this finally the year that the Broncos back it up?
Last year, they won 5 games. 4 of those games, they rushed for over 100 yards. So, I mean, now obviously, you know, some of that is padded by the fact that you got an early lead and you can, you know, sit on the ball and you can run it. So there's lots of factors that are involved in that. But clearly, if you run the ball successfully, you control the clock. You give it, your defense isn't on the field. If you run the ball successfully, your quarterback, if it is Drew Lock, you're reducing the amount of risk that he wants to deal with because when we're just running the ball down the field, he doesn't feel the need to throw into tight windows, doesn't feel the need to, you know, be aggressive because it's 3rd and 15. It's 3rd and 4. Just check it down to the tight end. He can take what the defense gives him. So running the ball is going to be critical for this team because they want to win the game with their defense. Defense and offenses that run the ball, those two things go together.
It makes such perfect sense, right? It's obvious. And why haven't they done it?
Because they haven't found ways to stop people in early drives. They've had slow start defensively where they feel forced on offense to abandon the running game.
But just because you're down 7-0 doesn't mean you have to abandon. Just because you're down 10-0 doesn't mean you have to abandon it.
I would agree with that. I think there's been a too quick of a notion to do that we don't have enough offensive firepower. We've got to find a way to create it. We just can't go out there and impose our will on people and do it. But I think with the two running backs, I think with the improvement of the offensive line, you know, we had some sound bites from Kush, gained what, 10, 15 pounds, more powerful player on the inside of that offensive line. And hopefully a defense that can win tight games for you. When I was a Pittsburgh Steeler, we won lots of games 17-14, 17-13. And while the score would indicate a close game, it really wasn't, because defensively we knew we could, we felt very comfortable in that, that the pressure wasn't going to get to us. I think this defense has enough talent to do those kinds of things if the offense holds up their end of the bargain, which means play with some balance, run the ball, chew up some clock, limit the amount of defensive exposure, and give your quarterback some makeable third down situation so he doesn't have to play outside of himself, regardless of whether it's Drew or Teddy.
Ah, sounds so simple, doesn't it?
Yes, it's easy to explain.
So simple. All right, let's get some of these texts. This one says, it really doesn't surprise me that a coach that stands on the sideline during games with his hands on his knees watching his feet has practices that have no energy. Let's get through this year and get rid of Fangio. His defense isn't even that good. We were talking earlier, and you had a point you wanted to finish about the idea of Vic either giving up entirely calling the defense, or if he's going to do it the way he normally has 100%. That is, move upstairs. Be the head coach from upstairs.
I think he, in this scenario, he is not giving himself best chance for success. You've been upstairs for so long. I mean, it's clearly where you're most comfortable calling it. So being on the sideline is not giving yourself best chance for success. You are the head coach of a football team, but you want to call plays. But there doesn't seem to be a system in place that allows you to do that while still being on top of these other things. Therefore, you're not giving yourself best chance for success in this avenue. So you've taken away from both your jobs and not made yourself better at either one of them. That's a, it's an unfortunate situation. Andy Reid seems to have found some balance with Kansas City. I mean, Eric Bieniemy is obviously in his ear and suggesting plays, and there's a lot of conversation between those guys. But Andy Reid usually seems to be on top of it. But also, for a long time, Andy Reid was thought of a guy who didn't handle timeouts and clock management very well. And even some of the more recent Kansas City success, that has come and bit them in the butt. So I think it can be done, but I think it's very rare that people who can pull it off successfully. You know, I thought Bill Cowher, who played linebacker and mainly made his bones in the NFL as a special teams guy, of all the coaches I've been around, had the perhaps the best balance between offense, defense, and special teams. Knew what was going on in all those aspects, was intimately involved in all those aspects. Bill Belichick as well. I mean, he taught Tom Brady how to play quarterback by teaching Tom Brady defense. So this is what I'm an expert at, but I'm going to make you better by teaching you what I know so you can go out and execute your job. I think Bill could probably coach any position on the field. I'm not sure if a lot of NFL head coaches could possibly do that. So I think specifically to Vic Fangio, though, he doesn't do himself a whole lot of favors being on the sideline when you're used to being up in the booth, and you don't do yourself a lot of favors as a head coach when you're so focused on calling plays, then you can't manage the game as effectively as a head coach who doesn't have that same responsibility.
He's coaching for his job this year. We all know that.
The hot seat is hot, yes.
And to me, if I'm trying to save my job, I'm going to make sure that I'm going 100% doing what I do best.
You're going to go up in the booth and be a head coach?
Who cares if you're being ridiculed? Who cares if it gets everybody talking and people are like, wow, you never see your head coach up there in the booth like that. What an unorthodox move. Who cares? Because you got nothing to lose. You got a job on the line. I'd rather he go and do it this way and make such an impact on it, this team defensively, that they win more games and he holds on to his job because of what he brings as a defensive genius than the notion that he's going to win us all over by, wow, look at how good of a CEO, football CEO Vic has become. Boy, I mean, when did he become Mike Tomlin right before our eyes, you know, in terms of being able to just, you know, navigate the whole game and be a little bit involved in this and a little bit involved in that. And look at the way he handles his timeouts and game management. Wow. That's why this guy needs to be my coach moving forward. No, it's not going to be that. It's only going to be because this defense was awesome this year. Look at that top five defense. Look at how Vic Fangio got the most out of this defense. That's why this guy's my head coach moving forward.
You got to think
so
of
give
this.
Him every opportunity to do that.
Okay, I know you and I are a bit old for this analogy. For the younger guys, and maybe a couple folks our age, think of it like building a character on a video game. You've only got so many, you know, points that you can use. And when you put all your points in the defensive coordinator bracket, then you take away points from the head coaching bracket. So Vic Fangio may become a better defensive coordinator by being up in the booth, but now you're taken away from the head coaching stuff on the sideline. So his job title here is head coach. It's not defensive coordinator. So if he were to do that, then why are you head coach? How come you're just not DC? We need to bring in a head coach. So I think he would improve as a defensive play caller by being up in the booth because it would be an instant comfort level for him. But then he would decline as a head coach. It's a tough one. It's a tough one.
I don't know. I think being upstairs and having the whole field and the whole game unfolding in front of him would not only make him a better defensive coach, I think it'd make him a better head coach.
I think he would be more comfortable.
I think he'd have a better sense, a better handle on what's happening in front of him. Whereas when you're just down on the sideline, I think the game can get away from you.
I think your vision is so narrowed on the sideline versus being up in the booth. Obviously, you can see your entire sideline. You can see all the coaches and their interactions and all their conversations and how the sideline is. Body language is, it's harder to see those things from the field. You can hear the conversations, but you can't see all that in one look like you can from the booth. So I think your point has some merit, but I don't think it's going to happen.
All right, this is KKFN, KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.